Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Philippians 4 and 12 through 13 says, I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. First of all, I want you to see that the strength is not self-derived, but Savior-derived. Secondly, the strength given is not just for the good things of life you want to achieve, but also for the tough times of life that you need to endure. Ask a man in a wheelchair to climb 3 flights of stairs and he will say, I can't do that. Ask a lady without eyesight to walk alone through your house and she'll say, I can't do that. Ask a teenage boy without legs to go and play football and he'll say, I can't do that. Ask a teenage girl without the ability to hear to go and listen to your CD collection, and she will say, I can't do that. Why can't these people perform the tasks you are asking them to perform? Because they are limited in what they can do. I didn't say they were useless by no means, but they're limited in certain areas of what abilities they do have. Linda Down discovered real power, and she needed it. She had dealt with the limitations of cerebral palsy all of her life, and one day she got this crazy idea of running the New York Marathon. But Linda walked with difficulty, so running seemed out of the question. She used canes with arm clamps to steady her arms. On top of this, she was 25 pounds overweight and jobless. In a state of depression, she began reading the scriptures about the power of God at work in people's lives. She read Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. While training, she listened for God. She thought as she was running in the dark at night, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction about things not seen, Hebrews 11 and 1. She thought about her limited dreams, her inability to see beyond the obstacles of life. Faith, she said to herself, was running in spite of the insurmountable obstacles. As the New York Marathon began that cold morning, she wore gloves on her hands to soften the impact of the crutches. It was windy on the bridge and uphill. She had not expected the beginning to be so difficult. As she finished the mile-long Verrazzano Narrows Bridge, there were no runners in sight ahead of her. Spectators were gone for the most part. But one little girl ran out into the street and cheered her on. You can do it! Others on the curb later applauded and cheered and shouted. They brought tears to Linda's eyes and helped her keep going. 10 hours later, Linda was still running in the dark through dangerous neighborhoods. Some admiring spectators walked with her for safety. Then an ABC TV camera crew showed up and followed the story of her courage. She continued to run. She wore a hole in one sneaker from dragging it across the ground. Her hands ached and throbbed. Her arms became black and blue and swollen. She couldn't speak to anyone because of fatigue. But she continued to run because she prayed, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Then 2 parks and recreation trucks in Central Park came by and stayed with her to light the way. After 11 hours of struggle and over 27 miles, Linda crossed the finish line. People were crying, and Linda was crying at the response and support that she had received from God and these people. She thanked God for the power to do such a miraculous thing. And later, she was invited to the White House and was pictured on the front page of the New York Times. You see, her story was not just a story of noble effort. It was the story of the power of God at work. Oh, my friend, fear simply tells you not to do it for sake of injury or embarrassment. Doubt tells you all the reasons why you can't do it. And we are too often stranded at the borders of promise, afraid to take the next step because we've had so many failures in the past. We reason that it'll only be like before, that we will fall on our faces in abject defeat. Oh, but my friend today, in the midst of your fears and your failures, know that 1 John 4:18 states that fear has torment. But that same passage goes on to say that perfect love casteth out all fear. The commentator Albert Barnes says, and I quote, "Love is not an affection which produces fear. In the love which we have for a parent, a child, a friend, there is no fear. If a man had perfect love to God, he would have no fear of anything, for what would he have to dread? He would have no fear of death, for he would have nothing to dread beyond the grave. It is guilt that makes people fear what is to come. But he whose sins are pardoned and whose heart is filled with the love of God has nothing to dread in this world or the world to come." End quote. Oh, my friend, today you may be living in the midst of fears and failures, regrets and things that rebellion has cost you, the consequences of certain choices and sin that you've made that's left you crippled. But learn from Linda and the story. Learn from her running all the hours of struggle. She wasn't doing it necessarily to get a prize, but she was doing it for the sake of a message of hope, that no matter how broken down you are, you can still do something impossible. You can still achieve a place of greatness, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and that no matter how tormenting the failures of the past may be, when we understand how God is cheering for us, how he's in our corner, how his love roots for us to get up when we fall and to drag that foot no matter how crippled we may feel by the circumstances. When people are climbing Mount Everest, there are at least four camps that people stop at on the way up. They have to stop because of the physical limitations of their bodies. They need time to rest. They need time to acclimatize to the atmosphere. They need time to be prepared to move up another leg of the mountain, because people were not designed to go from an altitude of 0 to 29,000 feet overnight. And in the same way, my friend, God knows our limitations. He's not looking for us to reach the summit overnight, though he is looking for us to journey with him all the way to the summit. See, my friend, in that journey, after making certain treks, God gives us times of peace and enjoyment to be able to rest and celebrate the distance we have traveled with him. Oh, my friend, you may feel like, well, all of the chances are gone, and you've made too many bad choices. But let me tell you something about a door and the possibility of an open door before you. A door is something that takes us from one atmosphere to another. For example, a hallway to a bedroom. It's a very different atmosphere. A garage into a house, a living room into a bathroom. You see, doors change the atmospheres, the circumstances of our lives. And I'm telling you today that you can walk through a door of mercy and find the strength of God. You can walk through a door of forgiveness and find the power of peace on the other side. You can come out of the cold places in your life where it's been frigid and lonely and barren and withered. You can step into a warm, inviting atmosphere of the presence of the Lord. The Chinese combine two characters for the word crisis. One character means danger and the other opportunity. These two possibilities are inherent in every crisis. You see, because a crisis is a crossroads, and the outcome is usually determined by which path is taken. Oh, my friend, take that path of faith today. And even if it's been a struggle, don't worry about the danger. You have a deliverer with you. You've got a door of opportunity before you. You have a path of possibility even when it looks impossible. And you may have those that will tell you, you can't do it, you'll never make it. But just like Linda in the story of the New York Marathon, there'll be more that'll be cheering you on. The angels of God will be in your corner. And of course, God himself. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This tells me, my friend, that if you have faith, you can be pleasing to the Lord, but no matter how much talent you have. And there's plenty of people in this world that are incredibly talented, but they have no faith. And because they have no faith, whatever they do will not really be pleasing to the Lord. But you, my friend, crippled because of past circumstances, oh, if you have faith in God, God's got a reward for your diligence. God's got a reward for your endurance, for that power and desire on the inside of you that will seek after Him, that will reach for Him no matter what you have faced in the past. Zechariah 2:1-5 says, I lifted up mine eyes again and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. Then said I, Whither goest thou? And he said unto me, To measure Jerusalem, to see what is the breadth thereof, and what is the length thereof. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. O, my friend, the vision of this chapter prophesies the rebuilding of the temple in the city of Jerusalem in the days of Zechariah. It was speaking of the prosperity to come. It was speaking of how the Lord would step in and do things that were beyond their imaginations. But yet the preceding verses in Zechariah 1:14-16 gives a little bit understanding as to what was coming in Zechariah 2:1-5. So the angel that commanded me said unto me, Cry thou, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy, and I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Therefore thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. A line stretched among Jerusalem. It was a measuring line. God was promising that the cities would overflow with prosperity, that the Lord would provide comfort. I want you to see the reason why some are still where they've always been. It's because of limitations. You see, to be limited is to be at the point, the edge, or the line beyond which something cannot or may not proceed. Limits are boundaries surrounding a specific area. And could it be today that you're living with limitations, that you have failed to see what you can do with the power of the Holy Ghost helping you, with the strength that the Lord Jesus Christ would give you? And what is keeping us from doing what God wants us to do? Could it be our personal limitations? Could it be the relationship limitations? Could it be we blame our jobs, our upbringing, whatever it is that causes us to say that we can't do it? You see, Zechariah sees a man who has a measuring line in his hand, and that right there is our problem today. We have our own measuring lines that we're living by, and we're okay with how things are working out, as long as they work out the way we want them to, as long as they don't cross my measuring line, as long as they keep it within our boundaries of comfort. You see, my friend, when we have our measuring sticks or lines, we limit God. We put boundaries around God, and you can't put God in a box. In fact, the universe cannot even contain Him. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. So somehow today, you've got to put away that measuring stick and realize that God wants to be the God that has no walls in your life. And I'm not talking about doctrinal boundaries, but I'm talking about boundaries of faith. I'm talking about boundaries of limitations. And when we realize what we can't do on our own, but what we can do through the power and purpose of the Holy Ghost, it makes all the difference in the world. See, in Mark chapter 6, we see where Jesus returned to his hometown of Nazareth, and the folks there began pulling out their measuring sticks. What makes this man so smart with wisdom? And isn't he just the carpenter's son? Hey, this isn't a prophet. This is Mary's son. His sisters are living among us. He's not better than we are. And the Bible says they were offended at him. But Jesus made the statement that a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. Matthew 4:13 says that he left Nazareth and he went to Capernaum. And you know what happened there? He healed them all. Why? Because they didn't have measuring sticks. They didn't put limitations on God. They came to the forefront of what Philippians was talking about. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so, my friend, if you need healing for something this morning, you've got to put away that measuring stick. But you've got to know that doctors are not always right and their prognosis is not always correct, and that God is the ultimate physician. And he knows how to get things done when everyone else tells you that it's hopeless. God is still a healer. God is still Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. So, my friend, I encourage you today, don't drop your head in doubt when you get a negative report. Look up and acknowledge who is the ultimate decider in your life. Put away those measuring sticks of inabilities and incapabilities and fears and failures of the past, and start living your life for God with no limitations. Even when you look at the disciples during the feeding of the 5,000, the four Gospels tells us the story of how Jesus had compassion on the multitude that was following him, and how they had gone 3 days without eating, and how Jesus noticed and wanted them to be fed. And yet in one rendition, Philip says, well, we don't have enough money to purchase enough bread. And Simon Peter says that the bread that the young lad had would not feed that many. You see, they saw 5,000 men plus women and children. They saw only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Even the disciples were living with a measuring stick. But Jesus was operating under God's no limitation policy, because he's not a God of want. He's more than enough. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Ephesians 3:20. My friend, sometimes faith is stepping out to begin doing something for God that if God doesn't show up and provide, it'll be a failure. And that's when we have to come back to saying things like Paul said to the Philippian church, whether in good times or in bad times, whether in moments of seeming prosperity or seeming poverty, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have to understand that our strength comes from the Lord, and that when we serve God, we're serving a God without limitations, that what he begins, he'll finish. He is not only the Alpha, but he's the Omega. Not only the beginning, but he is the end. And he is a God without limitations. He doesn't see the high hedges and our maze, for he is above them. Think about even Moses in Exodus chapter 3, who was keeping the flock of Jethro, his father, and God appeared to him and told him through a burning bush that he was going to lead out the children of Israel. And what did Moses do? He whipped out that measuring stick. He pulled out that philosophical plumb line and measured all the reasons why he couldn't do it. In verse 3 and 11, he said, who am I, Lord, to go unto Pharaoh? And verse 13, he said, the people will ask me my name and who sent me. I'm a nobody. And 4 and 1, oh, they won't believe me or listen to me. And in verse 10, I'm not eloquent. I'm slow speaker and with a slow tongue. But you see, my friend, God's calling you. God's put his hand upon you to do a work and to be a witness. Not to offer excuses, but to know that in any situation that he's asked you to do something, he'll help you make the adjustments. He'll equip you. He'll give you the power so that you don't have to live according to your measuring stick, but to according to his immeasurable power and strength. You see, too often we live with inhibitors. And what's an inhibitor? An inhibitor is anything that interferes with the normal functioning of other things. The interference could be in a physical or spiritual. For instance, it could be growth retardation or movement restriction or hindrance to other activity. Chemists refer to it as effectors or chemical substance that prevents or reduces action and reactions. The electricians call it short circuits. The plumbers call it blockage. The IT techs call it signal loss. Athletes call it resistance, and the military calls it obstacles and barriers. In a literary meaning, it is simply called limitations. Oh, my friend, I don't know what the effectors, the blockage, the resistance, the interferences, the intercepting things, the short circuits, all of that which may be barricading you from a blessing.
what those are for you today. But my friend, I tell you that God is able. God is more than capable, and that you're more than capable, not because you rely on your own intelligence, experiences, or education. Quite the contrary. It's I can do all things through Christ. He equips me. He makes me capable in the midst of chaos.
You see, we all know that an elephant can pick up a ton with his trunk. An elephant is one of the most powerful animals there is. Yet, if you go to a circus, you'll see a massive animal tied to a little stake in the ground, and he will stay there. He has the potential to go anywhere he wants to go, but instead, he simply looks around and possibly thinks about how it would be different if the rope wasn't tied down. You see, the elephant's problem is mental, not a physical limitation. When he was young, he was tied to a stake that was deep in the ground before he got his strength. He pulled and struggled as a youngster and just couldn't get away from it. One day, he accepted the fact he wasn't going to get away. And from then on, he decided whenever he was tied to the stake, he was stuck. The elephant had allowed the limitations which had been placed on him to keep it from becoming what it could possibly be. It doesn't cross his mind. He is not the same elephant he was years earlier without much strength. Nor does he recognize the stake is not nearly as strong as it once was. Oh, my friends, some of us need to wake up to the fact that we are not the same people we were back then. God has equipped us. God has empowered us. He's changed us. You've been transformed with additional strength. And when you get up the nerve to challenge what's holding you back, my friend, there'll be a whole new world of possibilities. And the chains that are holding you back will change. They'll be broken and laying at your feet, and you'll realize with Linda in the New York Marathon, with Moses with the staff of God in his hands, with David with a slingshot in the valley of a giant, you'll realize with the disciples as they watch Jesus feed thousands of people with a few loaves and fish, that I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So, Lord, I pray today for somebody listening to this message, somebody that may be facing impossible circumstances, somebody that may have just suffered a great loss in their life, somebody who may be looking for a job or a better place to live or for healing in conflicts of their relationships. I pray today, God, that they'll be able to stand up with confidence, stand up with an Acts 2:38 experience, and say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I pray that somebody who feels so fragile because of so many failures in their life, having gotten up to only be knocked back down and feeling like they spend more time on the ground than they do standing up, I pray the grace of God and the favor of the word of the Lord will be upon them today, that they could realize that if they'll turn everything over to you, if they'll humble themselves before you, if they'll submit themselves to your word today, that there is a power and a strength that will come, that you will equip them to do what they've never thought possible to do. I pray, Lord, that peace will come that passes all understanding and help somebody in the midst of the greatest pain that they've ever faced, and that they'll truly know they can make it. In Jesus' name.
Yeah. Hi, this is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.